12, 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones or larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Well, if you've been thinking about putting off some event, some way of expressing love, maybe some reconciliation with someone in your family, now's the time to do it. There's no time like the present, because we're not promised tomorrow. Well, in addition to these readings from Luke, every week we have a psalm that's assigned as part of our lectionary readings. And we didn't read that today, but I wanted to mention it anyway. I usually look to the psalms for inspiration or guidance when I'm putting together the lectionary or the prayers and preparing for these services. But when we stop and think about the psalms that we love, Psalm 23 or Psalm 100 perhaps, it's unlikely anyone would quote from Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Psalm 49 is referred to as the folly of trust in riches. And let me just share a part of it. "Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of my persecutors surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly, no ransom avails for one's life. There is no price one can give to God for it. For the ransom of life is costly and can never suffice, that one should live on forever and never see the grave. When we look at the wise, they die. Fool and dolt perish together and leave their wealth to others." Well, it doesn't get any better from there. So if you want to read the whole thing, Psalm 49, it's not an uplifting or reassuring psalm like we like to turn to in times of difficulty. And of course, it deals with a topic we'd rather not even think about. But Jesus says something similar in our gospel lesson today. I think it's something each of us should take to heart. He said, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." I remember when my mom passed away in 2003, she would have turned 81 on Friday. But at that time, I can just remember walking through her house, the house I had grown up in northern Vermont, and looking at all the things that she and Dad had accumulated over the years, and in many cases cherished. The meticulously cared for furniture, circa sometime in the mid-70s, but looking as fresh as the day when they bought it. And then her beloved doll collection, something that always creeped me out whenever I stayed in that room, because there's all those eyes looking at you. Walls adorned with family photos or vacation mementos, other memories. And I remember thinking, what happens to all of this now? All of this went from having so much meaning to my mother to having very little meaning to us. But of course, there were some things, sentimental things. Well, looking back, my mom's passing away was a significant altering point in my life. And I like to think about it and reflect on it, and both bad and good came from it. I say bad first because in the months and years immediately following her death, I struggled with depression, and it led to some significant changes in my work life and in my family life. Not good changes. And I still carry a measure of guilt about her death. But I'm also confident that I'll see my mom again, and I find peace in that. Well, one of the hardest things I've ever done, and I'm sure many of you have done this yourself, was cleaning out that house and figuring out what to do with all those possessions. On the good side, I perhaps realized more than ever the temporary nature of possessions, of stuff, and of how we become fixated on going after the biggest or the best, and then once we have it, we move on to the next thing, the next want or desire. So her death prompted me to do some reevaluation of my priorities. I don't know how many of you know, I had a fairly senior position in a company when she died. I was president of a business sector of probably $200 million or so in business with the United States government. And following that, I lost that job and really sent me into a spiral of deep thought and reflection. Well, one of the things I realized, I guess, is that there was a lot more to life than being president of a business sector or being any sort of title that may be for that reason. Few of us would argue that we're a nation of consumers. Our closets seem to accumulate stuff all by themselves. Shelves sag under the weight of stuff we've forgotten we even own. We buy things for the joy that they bring us, but then in just a short time they lose that ability to bring us joy. So they too find a home in the back of the closet or in the shed or the attic, and heaven forbid, a storage unit. I can remember our realtor in Virginia, and she was adamantly opposed to storage units. She said the average storage unit rents for roughly $50 to $100 a month, and some of those that are climate controlled can go up to $200 a month. And people store stuff like old worn out sofas and chairs, bookcases, textbooks from high school and college, dishes they never use, you name it. And those things sit there for months and years and years. She said, over the course of time, people forget what they've even put in them and end up paying enough in storage expenses to have bought those things brand new many times over. So we ended up getting a storage facility when we moved. But we made sure we knew when that thing was going to be ending. And we had some set time frame for that. So we rent them anyway. We rent those storage units because regardless of how much we have, we're always on the lookout for the next retail-induced spark of joy. And it has to go somewhere. Well, as time passes, our house is filled to capacity. Comedian George Carlin, how many have heard of George Carlin? He's kind of an irreverent sort of fella. But he said, your house is nothing but a place to keep your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. So that's all your house is. It's just a pile of stuff with a cover on it. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that depiction of a house. But please note that when I'm talking here today, I'm using pronouns, plural pronouns like we and our, because I'm as guilty as anyone of hoarding stuff. All you have to do is walk through the parsonage basement. Don't. Terry says, don't come down there. All right. Well, if Jesus says our lives are not about possessions, then what are they about? Why do we devote so much of our lives to accumulating things? Well, Lutheran pastor Peter Marty, he's from Iowa, he wrote that he believes the reason is we confuse our possessions with our treasures. Our treasures. And he references Matthew 6, 19 and 20, which says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, Reverend Marty says that moth and rust can't touch spiritual treasures. I possess a house. I treasure my home. I possess food in the refrigerator, in the pantry, but I treasure nourishment. I possess a cell phone, but I treasure connecting with the people I love. I possess a car, but I treasure the freedom it offers. Finally, I possess a heart. I treasure love. Love. Well, using these thoughts, I thought about the treasures in my life. It's a good exercise, something all of us should do more often. My treasures, my family, certainly, and the opportunity to be with them and to make memories around holidays and vacations and other times when we can be together. I treasure this church, but more importantly, the people that make up the body of Christ that are a part of this church. Related to that, I treasure the opportunity to grow in faith alongside of all of you. I wish I had all the answers. I sure don't. Here in central Pennsylvania, I've also come to love and treasure the beautiful, serene landscape. The creation, the open fields, the forested hills, the roadside wildflowers, and even the Amish buggies. Now, David King tells me that's how he knows I'm not from around here, and that I like the Amish buggies. Right, Dave? Yeah. Of course, I treasure other things, too, like my mischievous dog, who removed the pin from the fire extinguisher last night. Fortunately, he doesn't know how to compress the button. But given enough time, he'd figure it out. Well, he reminds me to stay in the present, to take joy in the simple things of life, and to never pass up an opportunity for a nap. Those are all good things. Harry Emerson Fosdick was an American pastor who became a central figure in Protestantism here in America in the 1920s and 30s. And there are several of his quotes that I like. Things like, hating people is like burning down your own house to get rid of a rat. Or, don't simply retire from something, have something to retire to. And then finally, liberty is always dangerous, but it is the safest thing we have. Well, he talked about consumerism as well. And he said, Reverend Fosdick said, shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Have you heard that before? Heard that phrase? Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. I'd like you to open your hymnals now to number 436. You recognize this hymn? God of grace and God of glory. Harry Emerson Fosdick, 1930. Read it with me. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story. Bring its bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. From the evils that surround us and assail the Savior's ways, from the fears that long have bound us, free our hearts for faith and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the living of these days, for the living of these days. Cure your children's warring madness, bend our pride to your control. Shame our reckless, selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, make our broken spirits whole, make our broken spirits whole. Set our feet on lofty places, gird our lives that they may be armored with all Christ-like graces in the fight to set us free. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage in the quest for liberty. In the quest for liberty. Save us from weak resignation to the evils we deplore. Let the search for your salvation be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving you whom we adore, serving you whom we adore. So if you read that, or if you read that, thinking about the treasures of your own life, it kind of brings some of the events of the last 48 hours into vivid focus. Well, Harry Fosdick used the word shame to name our addiction to possessions. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. I've sat with many people in the final hours of their lives, and not once have I heard someone say, "Darn, I wish I had bought more stuff." You see, full barns are not the same as full souls. As hard as this is to think about, until we can figure out a way to internalize and live out this truth, I don't think we'll be able to experience the full joy and freedom of life that God has intended for us, a life of surrender to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.